We go to hour number two. What's going on? Welcome to the program. I am Jim Rome. Live from the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. All right, let's get done. NFL kicking off tonight. Philadelphia, the banner will be out there. They're going to get their shine. They're going to get their love. They did it. They got over. The city got over. The team got over. It finally happened. It's real. And they begin defense of that title tonight against the Falcons. Who do you like? What's going to happen? We'll get into that. I've got Kyle Freeland, Colorado Rockies pitcher, coming up later on this hour. Next hour, Tre'Davious White, Buffalo Bills cornerback. Phone lines are open. Call me now, 1-800-636-8686. Starting off hour number two, an email. Rome, the clones will get the new podcast to number one if you drop a lifetime ban on that low-life idiot custodian, Matt in L.A. He's an absolute embarrassment to Matts everywhere. Matt in Vancouver. The clones will get the new podcast to number one if you drop a lifetime ban on that low-life idiot custodian, Matt in L.A. Obviously, when you talk about Matt in L.A. as, quote, a low-life idiot custodian, that is a reason to go. Matt will go. Matt will look to swing on you. And every time you kill a guy like that, that guy in particular, the first thing he does is call the show. You're trying to get rid of the guy. You want to get rid of the guy, stop calling the guy a low-life idiot custodian, because he will go. And he will call the show. I can set my watch to it. This guy will be on the phone in 10, 9, 8, 5 seconds mark. However, I do want to get to number one. And I said I'm willing to deal. I'm willing to do some business. I'm willing to barter. What do you want in exchange for getting the RPO podcast to number one? And can I tell you something? I might not even need your help. My man Trevor Price is on fire. He's blowing me up right now. Unsolicited, with straight fire NFL takes. You're going to want to hear this guy. Trust me. He's got the background, played the game at an extremely high level, one of the best to do what he did when he played the game, and he's not afraid to say what's on his mind. And he wants to go. In fact, the genesis of this is, he and I were communicating, and he hit me up. He's like, hey, man, you got to put me on your show, and you need to put me on that show every single week. I got some things I need to get off my chest. And Trevor Price, this guy's had a lot of success off the field. When he played the game, he had a record label. And not like a lot of guys who have a, yeah, I want a record label. I mean, he had a record label and was extremely well-respected within the music industry for his ear and for his head and for the way he developed that business. He's already selling content here in Southern California, in Hollywood. My man does not need to do this. This is not a former jock who needs to get paid or needs to be on the air. It's not what it's all about. He just wants a platform. He wants to get off. He's ready to go, so check it out. In the meantime, I will think about this again tonight. Since we're launching the RPO podcast, and you should subscribe right now on iTunes, on Monday, I do want the thing to do well. I want to go to number one like we did with the Jim Rome podcast. I'll give you something in return. I'll figure it out. We'll get it done. Maytag Zach tweets, just pick from the box of chaos again. Everything that wasn't picked before is up for grabs this time. That's a thought. Maybe so. And Mike D for three. Swap Toby for Carl and Rosemead, and you've got yourself a deal. And Love Dem Birds tweets, feel free to reset the Eagles SB win. Just leave out that part when that kook ate horse poop. Man, it's not a win there. Unless you're slamming horse crap. And man, I'm not going to tell you how to celebrate your win. I'm going to say if you win finally, you should not be slamming a horse crap Sando. You should not do that. Eat it. Eat it. That's not, it's a bug. HUD, eat it. It's a bunch of fans chanting at a guy to eat horse crap, and eat he it, did. Bud. Eat it, Eagle fan. All right, so the Steelers are dealing with their situation internally, but across that state, the Philadelphia Eagles are about to open up the NFL season. The NFL is finally back. I mean, let's be honest. It never really goes away. It's not like you weren't thinking about the NFL at least once every single day since February 4th. From the Combine to the draft, to your own fantasy draft. I mean, it's on your mind at all times. But now the actual games are back. Football is back. That means Philly is back. And they're kicking off tonight in Philadelphia. The Falcons come to town. A new banner goes up. And it's a good reminder of how utterly insane Philadelphia's season was last year. I mean, it's so crazy. There's almost a party that wonders, did that really happen? I mean, there are times where I think there's no way that happened. I mean, it's Philadelphia we're talking about. The city that never gets over. The city that proudly chants, no one likes us, no one likes us, we don't care. And it's an Eagles team that was famous for coming close but never quite getting over. So, did that team, the Philadelphia Eagles, really win a Super Bowl? Are they really going to hang that banner tonight? I mean, I almost don't even care about the game itself. I'm going to be watching to make sure that all of that really did happen. Did they really lose their MVP candidate quarterback, Carson Wentz, in December? Did they also lose Jason Peters, Darren Sproles, Jordan Hicks, Caleb Sturgis, and more along the way? And don't forget about those details, and don't let them become normal, because nothing about last year's run was normal. Did they really turn Nick Foles? Did they really turn to him for a Super Bowl run? The same Nick Foles who had started one game the previous season and the same Nick Foles who was about to walk away from the game altogether. Did that guy win the Super Bowl? Did the Eagles, who lost to the Cowboys 6-0 at the end of the regular season, actually win a Super Bowl? Did the same Eagles team that beat the Falcons 15-10 in the divisional game really take the Vikings apart in the NFC Championship game? I mean, did the Eagles really break out dog masks for a playoff game at home? Did the city really put Crisco on light poles to prevent them from having people climb them? And it didn't work. Did that fan really slam horse crap? Did Nick Foles really average more than 300 yards passing and a QBR of 115 in the postseason? Did Nick Foles and Doug Peterson really school Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl? Hell, is it possible that Foles not only passed for 373 yards and 3 touchdowns in the Super Bowl, but this guy caught a touchdown pass too? I mean, did all that stuff happen? Did the Eagles really win the Super Bowl? Did Philly really get over for the first time ever? Did Jason Kelce really give that epic parade speech? Answer, hell yes he did.
No one wanted us. No one liked this team. No analyst liked this team to win the Super Bowl. And nobody likes our fans. And you know what? I've just heard one of the best chants this past day. And it's one of my favorite and it's new. And I hope y'all learn it. To all those people that got us out and to everybody who said that we couldn't get it done. What my man Jay Ajayi just said.
I know that really happened. I'll never forget seeing that. So now they're back on the field. And it's a reminder that it all did happen. It all went down. It was all real. Really, really real. Really awesome. World champions. World bleeping champions. That is the best. No one likes us. No one likes us. World champions. World bleeping champions. And the only question now is, when it's lit and they're fueled up and they're ready to roll out and get that banner, is Atlanta going to show up and punch them in the face tonight? That could happen. That could happen, Philly fan. You know that could happen. Let's hear it. What do you think is going to happen? In the meantime, I am thinking about what to give you in exchange for you bumping the RPO podcast up the charts on iTunes. Start subscribing to it right now. It's going to drop on Monday. 1-800-636-8686. But the Jim Rome podcast is still a thing. And I'm still going to do that every single week. So RPO is going to drop on Mondays. Jim Rome podcast moves to Wednesdays. 2 original content podcasts. Hit us up. Hit us up. You've got your telephone number. You know where to find me. Let's see here. Let's go to Anthony, Tennessee. We'll get a phone call in. Anthony, good morning. What's up? How are you?
Hey, Rome. How you doing, bud?
Good, good. How about you?
Been a Steelers fan for about 40 years, and I think that we're right to say something.
And thank you very much. Now you're done.
No. You don't like that car.
What's the matter with you, Hawk?
Not a very good
Y'all are not having a good day on that side of the glass. Hawk is like, Adam, pick it up, man. Just own it. Dude, you are the epitome of call quality. You are obsessed with the sound of a phone line. I've heard you talk to all of our podcast guests. I've heard you have the awkward conversation of saying to a podcast guest, an athlete, hey, do you mind, can I get you on a hard line? Hey, do you mind, can I get you off the speakerphone? Do you mind, can I get you off that Bluetooth? And then you direct that guy to me, and that sounds like that. What's up, man? What do you have to say for yourself?
I got nothing to say for myself, because when I was talking to Anthony, he sounded fine. Then we switched over, and I don't know what happened. Maybe he was looking at bullet points. Some people do that, and maybe he switched to speaker right when you went to him. I have no idea what happened, but I'll wear that one. I'm embarrassed at that quality. I'm very upset at Anthony right now. I'd like him to call back so I can yell at him, but I don't know what happened.
How do you know it's not Anthony's fault?
Well, I don't know. Either way, I'm going to yell at him.
So why are you yelling at him?
Because he ruined the show for 20 seconds, and that's a reflection of me because I'm the call screener.
I know. You ruin the show for hours at a time, and you're the EP.
I yell at myself every night when I go home.
Thanks for nothing. It's not helping. Have somebody else yell at you.
Anthony, if you're listening, screw you, buddy.
All right, that's classy. It's not helping. Way to keep your head, Hawk. Way to keep your head when the bullets really start to fly, Hawk. Way to deal with a little bit of pressure, Hawk. Robert Griffin would be very pleased and very proud of the way you dealt with that pressure. Did you just say screw you
no
to a
pressure,
caller?
No diamonds.
No pressure, no diamonds, Hawk.
No pressure, no diamonds.
Way to deal with that pressure. Hey, listen, it's bad enough that your content's not going to help me. It's bad enough that you're probably not going to get through the phone call anyway. Make sure that you at least have a clear phone line.
No pressure, no diamonds.
Let's try somebody else. Let's go to, all right, North Hills. Scott. In North Hills. I feel pretty good about this. Scott, what's up? Good morning.
What a pleasure to talk to you, Jim. Let me just say that first and foremost. I'm one of these characters who've listened to you for so long now, never ever makes a call to you, just enjoys tremendously so much the content of the show, enjoy you so much. You know, I'm always laughing my ass off whenever you say more of you is a good thing. And less of us is a good thing. And I happen to go with that like 100%. If you'd be kind enough, I just wanted to say a couple things. You know, most of the shows, I feel, are just sorry, as I told Mr. Hawk. Most of the guys in your business, I just find to be just very, very sad, unfortunately. And as I told him, I believe you have more dirt under your little fingernail than most of these guys have knowledge in their whole heads. Now, what made me call yesterday is you played the rant. Well, what made me think about calling you yesterday was when you played that rant of Lasorda's. And after I got through rolling on the floor, I was realizing that, you know, that Kingman rant is out there too. And if you could ever squeeze that in for your troops at some point in time, I'm sure there would be tremendous appreciation.
You know, it's actually a great, great rant. Scott, I got to ask something. You're really an interesting guy. So, for instance, give me an idea. If you've listened to the show for a long time, I'm kind of curious about your background. You're in North Hills. For instance, what do you do for a living?
Well, you know, I was one of these guys where when I was real young, and you'll love this too, I started going out to Santa Anita.
Good.
And I just got really fond of it, and I was fortunate enough to make just some crazy, crazy, miraculous scores. So I loved it even more. And then, of course, following you, I knew that very early in the game, you know, you weren't too high on horse racing, and I watched you shift into, you know, starting to like it, liking it a lot, becoming an owner, which is something I have never done. And I say, man, you've had some really great horses, and one of the greatest, I think, and it was a very sad ending, man. And I just think the horse was so tremendous, and he doesn't get credit to this day.
You're right.
Was Shared Belief.
Hmm.
The day that you beat California Chrome at Santa Anita, I was telling the big shot with the big hat who was a part owner in California Chrome that your horse was going to beat him that day straight out. I said, you can run a nice second today. It just happened I caught him going up to the elevator of the front runner. And I said, no, I have a little something to say here, because I really believed in your horse that day, Jim, and I came up good on it. But anyway, just wanted to mention that to you.
And I appreciate it too, Scott. Listen, you didn't get to the part that I wanted to hear. Thank you, Scott. I appreciate you very much. I want to respond. You didn't get to that part about what you do for a living. Maybe next time. But I really appreciate your thoughts. I appreciate the fact that you were at Santa Anita that day. He's talking about Cher Belief, who has since passed away. Cher Belief was a horse that we owned in a partnership who was the former top-ranked thoroughbred in the entire world. Cher Belief was the early Kentucky Derby favorite, but he had bad feet. He got hurt. He went to the sideline. California Chrome, who was our big rival right down the street, stepped in, won the Derby, had a look at the Triple Crown, and became the biggest thing. And we were off to the side, and then we came back, and we mounted our own campaign. We ran against him in the Breeders' Cup. We got slammed coming out of the gate. I don't need to reset that whole thing. People who know horse racing know that. But we finally did match up the following February against California Chrome, two of the best in the world. And, like, neighbors, rivals, both in Southern California, down the street. And you were either a Chromie or you were a Cher Belief fan. And I was not there for that race that day. I was in St. Louis with the O'Reilly group. Craig Kitchen and I were in a hotel room watching. And my man, Scott, right there said, oh, I was there. I was at the track that day, and I found the Cowboy. The Cowboy was Coburn. You remember Cowboy. Cowboy's a good dude. He had a few moments, but he and I have run to each other in the track. He always gives me a big bear hug. Jimmy, what's going on? My man and I have never thrown back an adult cocktail together, but probably should. Johnny Scabs says, Scott is a, and you'll love this, guy. The thing is, I did, though. I did. I loved his stories. And he left out one of the better parts. I don't want to give it up right now because my man will call back. When I said, hey, Scott, what do you do for a living? I knew what he did for a living. And I want him to say what he did for a living, but he never got there. I think he forgot to get there. It's really funny when you say that. Scott is a, and you'll love this guy. Normally when somebody says, oh, and you'll love this, you won't. They do. They can't wait to tell you that. Oh, and you'll appreciate this. Ever notice whenever somebody says, oh, and you'll appreciate this, Rome, you never do. You're not going to appreciate it. They'll appreciate telling it to you. Except Scott, I did appreciate. All right, so next time we find out what he does for a living. My man had nowhere to go, but then again, neither do I. He could have gone on and on and on. And when I say he reset that part where I always say more of me and less of you is good for the show, I wish it weren't that way. I wish it was the other way around. I wish it was more of you and less of me is good for the show. Because then I wouldn't have to bust ass and get in here early and kill it to come up with content every single day and good takes and rants and interviews. Hell, do my job for me and find a way for me to still get paid. I wish it were the reverse of that. Hey, you know what I always say? More of you and less of me is really good for this talk show. But I'll never say it because it'll never be true. Meantime, my phone is melting because Trevor Price won't stop blowing me up. This guy's like, dude, it's only Thursday. Can we just do this right now? He is ready to roll. That's coming up on Monday. Flight Deck's in. Flight Deck wants to know what this guy does for a living. It's because the Flight Deck's all about Cher Belief. The only guy around here who likes horse racing more than me is the Flight Deck, James Kelly. What's up, Flight Deck? Extra Kit is running at Kentucky Downs this weekend, Deck. Look at the purse on that allowance race.
Omaha!
Kyle Freeland coming up later on. What I still need to get to, Shohei Ohtani. The team recommends Tommy John surgery, and this guy goes out, picks up a bat, and jumps ship twice. Never seen anything like that. eBay's got everything you need to do football season your way. Are you watching the game at home? Nothing says Sunday football like a crock pot full of your semi-famous turkey chili. Are you tailgating? Keep those drinks extra cold in a new ice blue Yeti cooler. Are you in the stands? Rep your ride or die team with jerseys, hats, and more. No matter where you're watching, never miss a play because your new Roku Express has caught everything for you. And visit eBay. Feel like you scored a touchdown without ever picking up a football. Game day. It's happening at eBay. That's eBay.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Love this job. Love this job. I talk sports every single day, and then sometimes even you step up, like my man Scott in North Hills. Get some reaction in a minute to that. But understand this. I still work at it. I care about it. I work at it. I put in the time, and I prep for it. And part of that prep is getting a good night of sleep. And the reason I can get a good night of sleep is nobody in my house snores. Not me, not my wife, not my kids. It is a snore-free home. Quality sleep is critical to my success. Snoring is not sleeping. If you or somebody you know snores, get a Zypa. I'll spell it for you, ZYPPAH.com. It's actually Happy Z spelled backwards. I wake up every single day, early, but I can't imagine what it would be like if my sleep were disturbed every single night by somebody snoring, me or somebody else. Like, if you snore, you're not sleeping. If you snore, you're ruining your sleep and everybody else's. Snoring is not sleeping. If you want to get a good night of sleep, a great night of sleep, get yourself a Zypa. Once again, Z-Y-P-P-A-H. It is Happy Z spelled backwards. If you want one, if you need one, go to Z-Y-P-P-A-H.com. Make sure you and everybody you know has Happy Z's. Put an end to the snoring. Get a great night of sleep every single night, like I do. Wake up refreshed and ready to roll. Go to Zypa.com. That's Zypa.com. I'm going to change up and talk some baseball. Kyle Freeland, next segment. Tre'Davious White, Bills cornerback, next hour. I'm getting a lot of reaction to Scott in North Hills. At TweetDeezy tweets, Scott in the Hills is on one. He may have been. He may have been. At CFO Carnap, Scott has to be the loins from which Miss South Carolina came from.
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and
consequently
Iraq, everywhere, like
such as, and
I believe that
heretofore,
they should
consequently, for example, such as and
the US,
or
should help South Africa,
turbine and the Iraq
and Asian countries,
and broccoli so and bricks, cameras, such as the. Consequently, and the Iraq, and such as, and no, he didn't sound like her. Nobody sounds like her. She's in the class by herself. At Hedstrom Bacon, Scott North Hills is the kind of guy that holds court at somebody else's birthday party. Sure, but at least he's interesting. Are you kidding? The flight deck nearly started to cry when he talked about shared belief the way he did. The flight deck wanted to rise up and punch somebody in the face. When Scott rolled up on Coburn and said, hey, we're going to beat you. Share Believe's going to beat you. We're better. And Rosemont John tweets, hey, Jim, I forgot what I do for a living. When I drink in the morning, signed Scott in North Hills. That's the thing. He does not drink in the morning. I don't think. He may do something else in the morning. Relating to his profession. I don't want to give it away. Jamie in Green Bay tweets, I think at I'm Adam Hawk just had himself a nice little Ryan Leaf moment under the pressure.
Don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
I think you're probably right. If he's saying things like, screw you to a caller because the phone line wasn't clean, he did go Ryan Leaf with it. At ShocksRock17 tweets, Hawk is unhinged right now. Do you have that, Alvin? Do you have tape? Do you have audio of Hawk unraveling on the air? Johnny Scabs back in. Jimmy, I can guarantee with that complexion that Adam Hawk does not have a reflection. Wow, bro. Kind of harsh. And finally, Rome. Don't bag on Hawk. He stayed calm, and he definitely didn't flip bleep. Nice work, Adam. Yours, Nikki Saban.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
Aaron in Omaha. Warhawk picking up the phone next time somebody's on speaker and piping off with, don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off.
Don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off.
Or a Husker beatdown in Scofro's first game on Saturday. Bro, you're not calling him Scofro, are you? Romy, of course, the flight deck loves horse racing. His forehead is longer than the backstretch. War Rome playing Brad from Corona's first ever call. Mike in St. Paul. They could run the Belmont Stakes on the flight deck's forehead. And that's the longest race there is in the business. At Santa Anita, when the track's not right, they have everybody train on the flight deck's forehead. Why not? Walker's Corner. What's going out to Santa Anita? Nah, man, the track's closed down today. All right, what's going out to the flight deck's forehead? Mile and a half, yo. Wouldn't that be great if they ran the Breeders' Cup on the flight deck? Or the Kentucky Derby on the flight deck? I can see them rolling out the gate, the starting gate on the flight deck's forehead. Hey, personal appearances are not show fodder. Even if his head is big. Logan Rome came in here one day and goes, Dad, the flight deck, his head's not that big. It's not that big, Dad. I said, oh, son, it's that big. You will never see a head for the rest of your life bigger than his, son.
Ice, man.
Ice, man. Flight deck.
Cut that meat.
Omaha. Omaha! Kyle Freeland coming up next. Change up, talk a little baseball with you. Then more football. Philadelphia gets their banner tonight. Season kicks off. Eagles, Falcons. D'Angelo Hall was tremendous this week on our podcast. I want to reset that for you. Then the RPO podcast drops next week. First things first, I got a sports update for you. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Barbasol Razors, after 100 years of making shaving cream, Barbasol is finally making razors, and that was a no-brainer. Try the new Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus with six ultra-thin blades. Save right now at Barbasol.com. There's the Box of Chaos. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, it's right there. Box of Chaos. Hulk or Hawk is sulking. Over there, there's Alvy. Cans on backwards. I'll get to the Box of Chaos momentarily. First things first, we are joined by a pitcher for the Colorado Rockies, having a huge year. 13-7 in ERA of under 3, 145 strikeouts on the year. He's top 10 in the National League in wins, innings, ERA, win percentage. The 8th overall pick back in 2014, Colorado on top in the NL West. And they've got a showdown, big series coming up at home against the Dodgers tomorrow at 8:40 p.m. Eastern. Kyle Freeland is my guest. Kyle, really nice to have you on. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, what's up? I'm glad I got through. I thought Hawk was going to yell at me.
My man. Nah, dude, you sound great. You're great. I appreciate you saying it, too. All right, so the team is rolling right now. Hawk just turned white. Like, he can't even believe it. Hey, Kyle, did somebody feed you that, or did you hear that? How do you even know who Hawk is?
I have my connections.
Okay, good, good, good looking out. All right, so the team is rolling right now. You've won five straight, including last night's 5-3 win over the Giants. It included three home runs from Trevor Story. First, let me ask you that. What goes through your mind when you see a teammate raking like that and having a night like that?
My jaw just kept dropping every single time they hit one out of the park. It was unbelievable. I mean, he's one of those guys that, you know, has made himself into one of those players where when he comes with a dish or when he takes the field, you pay attention because he's going to do something special. And last night he did something extremely special.
So, Kyle, what's it like when the team is playing the way it is and you're in the middle of a postseason race and you guys are finding different ways to win every single night? Like, take me inside that clubhouse. What's the vibe like among the players and in the clubhouse?
It's great. You know, we're really light. You know, keeping everything easy, simple. Guys are picking each other up, whether it's pitchers or position players. When one guy's slumping or struggling a little bit, another guy's coming in, he's picking up the slack for him. But the mood in the clubhouse is incredible. Chemistry is great. Everyone's getting along really well, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to play baseball right now with this group.
Rockies pitcher Kyle Freeland, my guest. I had your manager Bud Black on recently. He was raving about you as a pitcher and the year you're having. And one of the first things he said was that you've been so consistent for the last few months. The team has won 9 of your last 10 starts. So how much pride do you take in the fact that your manager and your teammates know they can count on you every single time you take the mound?
I take a lot of pride in that. Knowing that I have, you know, a team behind me when I take that mound that has a lot of confidence in me only builds the confidence in myself. And it's great to know that and know that from my manager as well. You know, being only a second-year guy in this league in a really tough division, it's great knowing that and having that support from my teammates and my staff.
You know, he also made the point that he feels like you've made the transition already in your second year from being a thrower to a pitcher. What's that transition mean to you or feel like to you?
It is a lot of learning for me. You know, I never really saw myself as a thrower. I was, you know, myself as a pitcher, you know, a thinking player, sometimes when I, you know, saw things out there on the field on the fly. But over the past year or so, the amount that I've learned from this league about myself, about my teammates, about this team as a whole, and the game at this level has been incredible. And I've just been trying to soak everything up as much as possible, and learn from everything that, you know, whether it's success or failures, I've been trying to learn from it.
It's got to be great, too, to have a manager like Bud Black, who pitched for as long as he did in the major leagues. Hey, look, you know, they pay me not to have favorites. I got to be objective, but I can't lie, man. I love the guy. Buddy Black is one of my favorite guys to talk to, one of my favorite guys ever in any sport. What's he been like to play for?
He's incredible. I mean, he's a manager who loves connecting with his team and his players that he's working with. And, you know, he's fun to be around. He's a great guy to learn from. For me, having him as my first ever manager in the big leagues, I think is just might be hard to beat further down my career, wherever it takes me. But he's a guy that, you know, as a pitcher, I can go and talk to and bounce things off of because he's been there before. So it's kind of like having a third pitching coach there, where, you know, you can get a different mindset from somebody other than your two pitching coaches, who are great though. But it's really nice having him.
Colorado Rockies pitcher Kyle Freeland, my guest. They're on top of the NL West. Big series coming up against the Dodgers. Now, Kyle, whenever we talk about pitching and pitching in Denver, the topic of altitude is obviously going to come up. But you're from Denver, and not only are you from Denver, but you were born shortly after the Rockies came into existence. So what's it mean to you to be pitching for your hometown team?
It means absolute world to me. I mean, I was born about a month and a half after their very first game in Colorado. So I've been raised, you know, a Rockies fan my whole life, and now I'm a huge Rockies fan. I get to play for them too, and I know how rare of an opportunity it is that I have, and, you know, I want to take full advantage of it, and, you know, not waste a single second of it. So it's been something that I've taken on with the whole altitude thing, Coors Field effect. It's something I love going head on and taking control.
Hey, what's that like? For instance, I told the story, Kyle. I was spent the last couple of weeks on vacation, or a few weeks back. I went to Wisconsin, and, man, just probably added 5 or 7 pounds in 1 week. Then we came to Aspen. I couldn't wait to try to work it out, so I jump on, like, an elliptical machine the first day, Kyle. Dude, I nearly gassed out and died in a 45-minute session. I could not believe how hard it was to work and do any exercise at altitude, even for professional athletes. Do you see that from the opposition? When they first come in, how hard is it to get acclimated?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the other day, when we were playing San Diego at home, I was on first base, and I was talking to Hosmer. He's like, man, I can't go 20 seconds of running without, you know, sucking wind and not being able to catch my breath. And I started laughing. I'm like, welcome to Denver, man. That's how it is. You gotta get used to it as quickly as possible. It's not easy.
No, dude, it's not easy. I'm glad it's not just me then, because it went really, really badly for me, man. It's humbling. It was really demoralizing. Now, you were there growing up, so you saw that great 07 team make the run of the World Series. One of the guys who was on that team, of course, was Matt Holliday, and now he's back with the team. What's it like to have him in the clubhouse?
It's incredible. It's kind of a dream come true. I mean, him and Chris Iannetta, those are two guys that, you know, were on that team. I got to watch two players that I really remember about that team. And having those guys in the clubhouse and, you know, being able to get Matt up here late in the season to help us with this playoff push and the success that he's been having, I'm like a little kid again, kind of. You know, it takes me back to, you know, when I was a freshman in high school, watching them on TV and, you know, seeing the incredible thing that they're doing and seeing how excited the whole state was for this team.
Let me take you back even further than that. Go back to elementary school. A couple of weeks back, you went to your elementary school and you gave out backpacks. It's the same school where your mother, Susan, has worked for 16 years. What was that experience like, and what's it like to be able, again, to do that in your hometown?
It was, you know, it was humbling, and it was great to see the impact that it truly had. I didn't realize how big of an impact it had until, after the fact when I started talking to some of the staff and how the parents were calling in saying, this is incredible. You know, I can now, you know, afford to buy my kids, you know, new school clothes for this year instead of having to try and split it up between, you know, school supplies and clothes. And, you know, with some people having multiple kids, it's much harder. So it was great knowing that, seeing the kids, you know, so excited to get these backpacks with all the school supplies, and the teachers were ecstatic too. It was just all around a really good day, and everyone was extremely happy about it.
Had to feel great. So last thought, you've got the Dodgers coming in, and obviously you got this real battle going on right now in the NL West. How do you approach these three games? Is it just another series, and do you tell yourself that, or do you act or approach it like the postseason is starting early?
I think it could be, you know, an early matchup of what could come. But we're gonna take it as, you know, it's another series. We still have, you know, a good chunk of September left, and we're gonna keep playing the game of baseball that we've been playing. We're not gonna try and hype it up at all. We're not gonna try and act like it doesn't mean anything or anything like that. We're gonna play or bring the baseball, and we're gonna play it the best we can.
My man, you do not sound like, nor look like, nor carry yourself either on or off the mound like a second-year player. Kyle, appreciate it so much. Great to have you on the show. Really good to get caught up, man. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it, Kyle. Thank you. Kyle Freeland. I still can't believe he started the interview off by, Hawk's not going to yell at me, is he? How do you know that? How do you know Hawk? I know people. Okay, let's do this thing. He was awesome. The Rockies are also awesome. There's a really interesting dynamic in the NL West. The Dodgers, Dave Roberts was on yesterday. The Dodgers are a really good jungle team. The Rockies are a really good jungle team. Padres, you know, always have been a good jungle team. They just need more to talk about, more positive things to talk about with San Diego, and they're working it. But I love that matchup, that showdown. Rockies, Dodgers. I mean, we're talking football. The opener tonight, but there's still a lot of good baseball going on. I haven't even gotten to Ohtani yet. Adam Hawk, pick it up. I got to know. Did he stay on to talk to you, and how'd that conversation go, and how freaked out were you? I'm going to assume that you have no idea who Kyle Freeland is, and that's fine. But how freaked out were you when all of a sudden you heard him drop your name to start the interview?
Yeah, scared the hell out of me, because I haven't been having a good day here in your eyes, and I had no idea where he was going with that. So I was just like, where did you get that information from that I was yelling at a caller? And he divulged it to me, but this is theater of the mind, so I'll just tell you off the air where he got it.
All right. Good dude, though, right? Really good dude.
Great dude. I'm going to go get a Rockies hat after work and wear it to Casual Friday tomorrow.
Okay, there you go. Kyle Freeland was awesome. Nathan Appleton loved it. Kyle Freeland putting Adam Hawk on blast before he even started the interview has to be an all-timer. It was. It was, because it's not like Kyle has been doing the show for 10 years. He's a second-year player. Great player. A lot of class. Tremendous command. Bud Black loves him. They all love him. And now we do, too. That was awesome that he put Hawk on blast to start.
Hey, what's up? I'm glad I got through. I thought Hawk was going to yell at me.
Hour number three coming up. Tre'Davious White next segment.